Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
The fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, hour number two. Thank you so much for staying with us on these Austin airwaves, 1049, 1019 AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com. Big shout out and thank you to Tom McKay of Audiovisual Consultations, not only for sponsoring the damn show every hour, but also joining us to talk a little bit about hockey, carving up that ice. Oh, yeah, that ice. That's right, baby. That's right. So Tom has the Avalanche. Speaking of ice, Tom has the Avalanche hoisting up Lloyd Stanley. I kind of agree with him. All right, we got an update here from London. That wasn't even a British accent at all. From London, mate.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Do you like your fish and chips? From London, or school. As Marvin Jones catches a pass in the back. Now, I'm starting to get into Australia. I can't even hold it. All right, I can't do that. Okay, Marvin Jones catches a pass from Trevor Lawrence in the back of the end zone from about 37 out, making the score 13-10, awaiting this extra point, obviously. We'll bring you that. Extra point is up. Yeah, because you can't even say it's a gimme anymore for the extra points. You know, I think there was, 11 kicks missed last week? I can't remember that stat. Anyways, Marvin Jones connects. And now the score is 13-10 in London, Miami over Jacksonville. It feels like, with 40 seconds left to play in the first half, it feels like if Jacksonville is going to get a win, this is the one to get. Like, if you're going to get a win all year, this might be your only chance. In London, because let's call it what it is. Football ain't exactly on the brain at Jacksonville right now. All right, it looks like Urban Meyer's distracted a lot. We talked a little bit about that last week as well. But Trevor Lawrence connecting, I mean, this looks like a team that they can get. Tua's back, I know that. Tua's back for the fish. And this is a good battle, too. Tua versus Trevor Lawrence again? A little nostalgia, a little reminiscent? Huh? Let's go to the Vicarious Cafe and Cantina Hotline, a guy that we can reminisce with all the time, Justin Wells. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Managing editor for Inside Texas. What's going on, brother? Thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Hey, now. Good morning at the Wagner Wire.
Dude,
we're
doing great, man. How are you? Is this not the best time of year? You have football. It seems like you turn on the TV and you got live football all the time.
And you go outside and it's chilly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're dropping down to about, 60s today. When I stepped outside, it was 47 on the way to work. And it's just, you're right, brother. It's that beautiful football weather, man.
That'll hit you in the britches.
Yeah, just a little bit. So you're back in East Texas today, but you were in the city. You were watching at the game yesterday, right?
I was in Austin yesterday. Yeah, I got to Moncrief pretty early. For all the big recruiting weekend that came in and got to see a lot of the guys from across the state and across the country come through. And so, yeah, I was in Austin yesterday, and I'm back in good old East Texas this morning.
All right, well, let's talk about yesterday, Justin. I mean, we all know the outcome of the game yesterday, 32-24. We lost to the Pokes, but, there was a lot more that happened than just, the loss at Darryl K. Royal. There was Arch Manning was in the house. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot going on. You mentioned recruiting, man. There was a lot developing with the Longhorns yesterday, and let's keep it on the optimistic side of the house.
We can do that.
Right, we could try to do that. Yeah. So what do you?
What's funny? I'm glad you brought this up, Adam. Listen, fans often they think recruits see games through a singular scope, and they really don't. Each game, fans live or die.
Right.
You know, first half they're happy, second half they're sad.
And,
you know,
hell, my God, every play, right?
You know, they live and die with every play. That's what fans are supposed to do. That's the beauty of it. That's what sports is about.
Sure.
Recruits don't view it that way. And, I mean, you wouldn't know any better if you were to get on social media, especially on Twitter, and people just think, well, recruiting's completely over now. They lost to Oklahoma State in the last few minutes, and you know, it's the end. It's the death knell. But the world doesn't work that way.
Right.
And no matter how much you try to tell them, how much you try to explain to them, they still feel like they're not going to get Arch Manning. They're not going to get Jontae Cook. They're not going to get these guys because of a loss to Oklahoma State. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it works. Now, if they lose, if this was a pattern over the entire season, absolutely. Absolutely. This would hurt recruiting. There would be an effect. But they don't base it off of each game. And so the fact that Arch Manning was there and they lost is not a bad thing.
To the 12th team in the country, by the way. To the 12th ranked team in the country.
But you're talking about a family and a recruit that are very pragmatic.
Right.
They're handling this in a very business-like process. And that it's going to be more than what did Texas do on a Saturday morning against Oklahoma State.
Right.
Like I know fans can't fathom that. They can't understand that. They can't comprehend that. But you need to believe it. It's the truth. Yesterday did not affect the recruitment with Arch Manning. If anything, from what we've been told by, you know, guys inside the program, Arch Manning had a blast in the last 2 days in Austin.
Sure.
You know, and so that's something you need to understand, that, you know, with recruiting, yeah, the loss is bad. It sucks, especially the manner that it happened, which we'll probably talk about next. But from a recruiting standpoint, these guys had fun. Evan Stewart, the number one receiver in 2022 in the country, he hung out last night. You know, he was there in Austin. These guys stuck around to enjoy, you know, some of the college life. It's not always – recruiting isn't always what's happening at that moment.
On the field, exactly.
On the field. It's everything that encompasses that. It's everything around that. And so, at the end of the day, I think recruiting did not – you know, it's one of those things where it was a big weekend. You wish Texas would win, but a lot of these guys saw what they wanted to see, which in some instances might be some early playing time, and in others it might be just a good opportunity. But at the end of the day – The loss hurts because it was very unnecessary and very unavoidable. But from a recruiting standpoint, it didn't affect that. If anything, Texas is still in real good situations and real good spots with a lot of these last guys of 2022 and building really strongly with 2023.
And you just spoke to the level of optimism that I was referring to in terms of what happens off the field. Like it's an event. Like you're not just going there to see the game. You're going there for an experience. You're going there for the weekend. You're going there to see what life would be like in Austin, Texas. And you know what? All of you know, type A alpha male football players out there that played the game like we did, you guys understand too, like, sure, it might be great to see the path of success, but also it's really refreshing to see the challenge of the hill that you need to climb, or the opportunity that Justin was talking about that you could come into and say, hey, look, you know, this is I don't want to say that the quarterback position is what Texas is missing. But when you are Arch Manning and you're coming from a quarterback rich family, you look at yourself, hey, could I be, you know, you can't sit there and think that he didn't think for once maybe he could be the answer for the offense. That had to have gone through his mind at least once. I mean, it went through my mind. I'm imagining it had, I'm not speaking for Arch, but my goodness, I mean, to fantasize, to create that fantasy, to say, man, could I take the Longhorns back to the top of football supremacy while he's there at DKR? Like, that had to have gone through his mind at least once, right, Justin?
I mean,
we don't want to speak for him, but
a lot of stuff goes through your mind. Yeah, I mean, when you recruit, a lot of things go through your head. But, you know, seeing opportunity is one of the better selling points for a prospect.
100%. Now, and also, like, let's talk about what Austin, you know, offers in terms of, I guess, lifestyle and culture. Like, this is one hell of a city to be in terms of, you know, having fun and going out. I mean, sure, they missed ACL probably by a weekend, but that would have been cool to have them down here. But my God, Austin still has a lot of things to offer in terms of nightlife and fun festivities and stuff around the city.
It has as much to offer a college student than any town in America.
All right, well, let's get back and let's talk about the game at hand, though. Jalen Warren, it looked another time where the rush defense of this Longhorn team kind of just got carved up and shredded. I mean, Jalen Warren, 193 yards. Justin, I mean, what do we got to do to plug the holes? Does it feel like, because to me, when I watch the tape, it looks like the guys are in position. It's just execution at times.
Well, you said 193. I believe 170 of that came in the fourth quarter. And so, you bemoan about the Texas run defense, but please understand, for three quarters, they look great.
Yeah.
For three quarters, they played great. But when the offense gets stuck in reverse, when the offense isn't moving, when the offense becomes too predictable, the defense winds up playing on the field and losing the time of possession. And when you're on the field as long as they are and as long as they were, you're gonna miss tackles. You're gonna miss spots. Things are gonna get
tired.
Jalen Warren, you're gonna get tired, and Jalen Warren's gonna go from 30 yards in the game to 193 at the end of the game. Like it's just kind of the way it works. One side always affects the other. And I think in this instance, it's not one or the other. I think for yesterday, it was the offense in the second half just being completely inept. And it's not one thing. I think the offensive line can play better, but I think they're still good enough to get by. I think, Don, it didn't touch the ball again for a while in the fourth quarter, and I think that was a problem. Of course, they were keying on him as well, and so – that's another thing. Texas has to adjust half to half, game to game. And it looks the last 2 weeks like the offense, these guys come out fired up, ready to play. They come out prepared. They come out ready. But when the second half arrives and teams start keying in on Bijan, they're going to dare Casey Thompson to throw the football vertically. And yesterday there were literally nine guys in the box. And if you can't throw the football over nine-man box, you cannot win.
No, I agree 100%.
The rules don't allow that. And so until this offense – and that's something I know Sark is struggling with, is because to maximize his offense, you have to go vertical. If you watched any of his stuff in the previous years, it's guys, you got to go vertical. Because just running Bijan and throwing to Bijan in the flat doesn't do it. You have got to make the defense respect the rest of the field. And Casey Thompson doesn't always have that ability. And so without him being able to stretch the field, this team is limited. And if they're limited, it's going to take toll on the offense and the defense. And we saw that late in the game with Oklahoma State coming back late and winning like yesterday.
Absolutely. And in terms of stretching the field, I mean, you got to take the chances as well. And you spoke to that, especially when you have nine guys, in the box to that. Worthy, only 28 yards, five receptions, but only 28 yards. We didn't see any types of vertical, that much vertical stretching going down the field. It almost seems like we settled for conservative play in terms of offensive output.
Well, the play calling is more conservative because with Casey at quarterback, and he's done a good job this year. He's done well, but you can't open up the playbook with Casey. There's a reason he chose Hudson Card at the beginning of the year, Adam.
Okay.
It's as clear as day, man. Hudson Card has every tool you need if you're going into the league to play quarterback. Hudson Card has it all, and he's had a whopping 1.5 games, 2 games to show it. And so I know going to Casey was a way to try to jumpstart the offense, which probably really didn't need a jumpstart considering they were playing Rice and Texas Tech the following weeks. But Sark went short-sighted, and he went with Casey, and now we kind of saw this coming. Defenses were going to prepare. They were going to adjust. They do each second half. This team can't go vertical. And until they can, and trust me, the offensive line, this is a spot that needs work too.
Right.
He can't do it all himself. He's got to be able to be able to, this guy's got to hold up the line for him. And so it's disappointing because it's the second week in a row we've seen the team come out prepared, come out ready, come out on both sides of the ball, and then the second half, it just sort of craters a little bit. And so Sark's got some work on his hands. He's got some adjusting to do. And it starts on both sides of the ball.
speaking with managing editor for Texas Inside, or excuse me, Inside Texas, Justin Wells. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Justin, so is it crazy to think that, you know, maybe there could be another quarterback change in the upcoming weeks? Or do we just let it play out and let Casey, you know, finish out this season?
That's a great question. I don't have.
It's so tough, man.
I Casey's played to me good enough to where he can, you know, he's earned the right, I believe, to continue to play quarterback.
I agree.
I think he's played well enough. But if you're going to flip, if you're going to go back to Carr, then we're going in a flip flopping situation, and that is, you want to hurt recruiting, do that.
Right. It sends bad signals, right?
Be indecisive at the quarterback position. Act like you don't know what's going on. And so, you know, you gotta dance with the one that you brought. And so this was a decision he made. If this team wants to prepare for 2022 and 2023, Hudson Card needs to be the quarterback. That, I'm not going to pull any punches. That's the way it's been. I've said that for a year, and I'll continue to say that. But if they're playing for the now, which I believe Sark is, and that's exactly what you might want to do, you stick with Casey. You see what you can get out of him. You see how you can open up the playbook a little bit more. You see what you can pull from him. But at the end of the day, it's not the best option.
Right.
It might be the quickest. It might be the quickest option, but it's not the best, especially not long term. And Sark's figuring that out right now, and Texas fans are figuring it out. Which, you know, you can say it, you can write it, and you can tell them, but until they see it, they don't believe it. But once they see it, now they're starting to understand everything we've written over the last 10 months or so.
No, you hit the nail right on the head there. So in terms of moving forward, you're talking about playing for the now, but in terms of moving forward, we got the bye week next week, and then we come back and we play Baylor. Baylor's looking pretty decent, though, Justin. 6-1, 3-1 in the Big 12. Clearly, we should have this game pretty much in our, in our driver's seat. You know, we should be able to I don't want to say throw around Baylor, but my God, I mean, at 6-1, you got to think that anything's a ball game or a fight right now.
Every game is going to be a fight. And let me tell you something, Baylor is good. Baylor is a disciplined team that knows their identity. They know exactly what they can do. They know exactly what they can't do. They follow that regimen very strictly, and you're starting to see success. You're starting to see Dave Aranda's footprints on that program. This is a game that, if I were to pick it today, I would pick Baylor. I mean, it's just the truth. Now, they've got 2 weeks to prepare for it. They've got 2 weeks to get ready. But at the same time, Baylor is a little ahead of this team because they've had Aranda for a little bit longer. They've had the system a little bit longer.
Yep.
They've had guys in these spots a little bit longer. And so they've got a couple more veterans in that spot. Do they have more talent than Texas? No. And that's the glaring issue. They don't have more talent than Texas, but they know their identity. They know what their quarterback can and can't do. To me, that gives them the advantage.
Right.
Whereas Texas, it seems, is still trying to figure out what their quarterback can and can't do. And so if the game was tomorrow, I would pick Baylor. But you give 2 weeks, give Sark 2 weeks to get these guys together, to have a good game plan, not only script the first half, which he is incredible at doing, script the second half.
Right.
Keep, like some fans are saying, keep the foot on the gas. Don't get conservative. And when they start keying on Bijan, which they will, he's the best running back in the country, they're going to key on him, you got to go vertical. And that means getting Xavier Worthy more active. That means getting Kelvonte Dixon and Joshua Moore and Marcus Washington involved. Yesterday, not having Jordan Whittington hurt.
It did.
He was a nice little third down valve there for Casey for a while and for Hudson. That one hurt. Losing DeMarvion Overshown on defense in the first quarter to a concussion, that really hurt. That's a guy that feels gaps, that tracks and smacks, that doesn't get caught in the wash. That hurt. And so get those guys healthy. Get everybody back on the same page. Figure out what your quarterback can and can't do. And I'm glad Texas has a couple weeks to prepare for Baylor, because right now Baylor is a better team.
Right, and I mean, Justin, almost on cue, we had a text in, hey, please text this for Justin for me, please. Why is it that Casey can hit the vertical passes in the first half and not the second? I don't put most of that on the QB. That's on scheme and play calling, period. Hudson will get his chance, but it shouldn't come at Casey's expense. I agree with that, too, and I think that's what Justin was alluding to in our last conversation.
Well, I mean, Casey got his chance at Hudson's expense.
Sure, yeah.
And that expense was terrible play calling, a terrible game plan, all over one time, and a very knee-jerk reaction on Monday morning to name a new quarterback. So it goes both ways. To the listeners, it goes both ways. Casey can get the ball vertically. We've seen that. Joshua Moore can go get it. Xavier Worthy can go get it. It's just not consistent. And if it's not consistent, it's not reliable. And if it's not reliable, you're going to lose by 8 to Oklahoma State at home.
Yeah, that's true. And hopefully we can get things righted. We can get the ship righted and get back to the winning ways when we take Baylor in a couple weeks. Another texter brings up a good point. Baylor does have a bye week as well. Yeah, we get that. But we believe, you know, with Sarkisian, you know, 2 weeks to prepare, almost like that Andy Reid scheme a little bit, we think that Sarkisian can get the best of it. But, hey, Justin Wells, we got to let you go, man. Nothing but the best always from you, man. Managing editor for Inside Texas, Justin Wells. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Nothing but the best, brother.
Hey, nothing but love, brother. I appreciate you, Wags.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, dude. And I know we got a lot more questions coming in to Justin Wells. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. A lot of people are wondering, is he still there, Sam? Justin, still, or he's gone. Anyways, reach out to him. I know you asked me the question if Arch Manning had a good time. I would direct that question to Justin Wells directly. I don't have that information. It seems like he had a good time from what Justin, you know, mentioned a little bit besides the game, that Arch Manning enjoyed himself here the 2 days that he was here in Austin. So I'm sure that, you know, Inside Texas will have something to that avail or to that content on their website, and maybe you guys check that out as well. Always a good get in terms of information with the 40 acres. Hey, we got to take a break. On the other side of it, we will have Al Walsh jump on and talk about all the green that we need in your pocket. I know your fantasy football questions are on the Specs text line. I will get to them, I promise. I hope that you guys are listening to the show and you can hear the questions throughout the show so I don't have to type, because I am like a very slow typer. I type like line, like the Charlie Brown player, you know what I mean, that plays the piano, Linus.
Oh, yeah.
I type real slow, like I hunt and peck. That's what it's called, hunt and peck. So anyways, all right, we got to get the break. On the other side of it, we will have Al Walsh jump on, and I will chime in to the Specs text line and answer your questions. It's the Wagner Wire, 1049, 1019, AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire. 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. Jacksonville. The Jaguars just went up on top of the Fish from Miami. 17-13 in London, baby. Fish and Chips London. That's right, man. How about this? And I mentioned this in the first segment of the second hour. If this is the game for the Jacksonville Jaguars to win, it should be this game. Not only are you playing an in-state rival or an in-state team, but, I mean, my God, this is kind of your only shot to win. I mean, Miami's playing bad football right now, 1-4. Tua just coming back, getting inserted into the offense, reinserted into the offense now. Trevor Lawrence playing some decent football, throwing a touchdown pass to Marvin Jones, and now Robinson going off. My goodness. You know a guy that's been on top of Robinson almost the entire season has been Al Walsh, and we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline right now, and welcome on Mr. Walsh this Sunday. What you got there, Walsh?
Oh, nothing much. I've been battling some.
Sam snickered at me. He says crazy because I said, you know, Walsh has been on Robinson all year long. I get it now, Sam. Ha, ha, ha. I get it. Jeez. See what I got here, Walsh? Do you see what I'm...
I know. It's like the third grade elementary class.
I love it.
Yeah? Walsh gets it worse because he gets the behind-the-scenes unfiltered version.
I can only imagine. What's going on, brother? How's your Sunday?
It's all right. Battling some indigestion, like heartburn and stuff.
See, Sam goes in full disclosure, right? Like, Sam's just like, hey, man, I think Walsh is really hungover, man. He won't even talk to me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, usually, you know, I say, Walsh, what's up, man? He's like, yeah, what up? Or is he something like that. And he just goes, hey, how are you?
Yeah. So definitely not hungover. And, you know, like, I went and played golf yesterday to try to, you know, get my body back into normal shape or something like that. But
golf will do it to you, man. The golf will definitely get you in shape.
That put a hurting on me too. So yeah, today's going to be a nice and easy Sunday. You know, I'm not gonna do too much, but yeah, obviously we still got our bets that we like this week.
Let's talk about maybe a game that you might have had money on if you were betting on something over the pond, a game across the pond there. What about Jacksonville and Miami? Did you steer clear of that, or did you put anything on that?
I did not. I wanted to go Jacksonville money line. I got a little bit gun shy after rookie quarterback didn't do so hot over there the previous week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I guess the Tua factor, we're going to see that down the stretch here. You know me, not the biggest Tua fan.
Sure.
But I actually was kind of hoping that Jacksonville would be on the main slate so I could use their defense for DFS today. But we got to, you know, we got to go barrel bin shopping today as well here on DFS. But we'll get to that, I guess, a little later on.
Well, how about this guy? I mean, Jacksonville, like if Jacksonville's going to win, like this is one of – you're looking at the schedule, Walsh. This is one of the only games that they can get right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have another game against Houston, you know, which will be another opportunity for them to win. I don't have their schedule, you know, right in front of me, but they've played some exciting football at times. I think they had the lead there on Arizona at half in that game before. I think they even had the lead into the third quarter until Trevor Lawrence threw an absolutely ridiculous pick six. So, yeah, they've been competitive at times, and, you know, they're going to have a lot of bumps along the way. It's Lawrence's first season dealing with a cast that isn't loaded with All-Americans. And
a head coach that likes lap dances.
Yeah, going up against Wake Forest. This is a different defense here in the NFL that he's facing.
Yeah, you're not in the ACC, buddy. Not anymore. All right, Walsh, well, let's take us down the slate, man. What do you like so far? And we'll get into fantasy. Let's just do the sports booking first, and then we'll get into fantasy.
Sure. So I guess the one that caught my eye above all was Vikings Panthers. We saw the Panthers open as, you know, 2.5-point favorites at the beginning of the week. I know the Vikings took a huge, I think, $500,000 bet early in the week, and that started to like spiral things in this one. But a lot of the sharps, a lot of the people that I feel comfortable with, a lot of them are on the Vikings this week. Reason being, you got that nice aerial attack there from Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. That's really been working well for this team over the last few weeks. So I think that they're going to go in here and do a nice job on Carolina.
You like their defense tonight? You like their defense today, Carolina? From a fantasy standpoint?
No, I'm going to go with Cousins and the boys with the Vikings here. But, I think, you know, maybe a turnover here or there, but not something that, not the defense that I'm choosing this week for sure.
Right on, brother. All right, continue down your slate, sir. Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to get that out there. I'm addressing my fantasy lineups right now, too.
We just saw it on Monday night. We just saw the Ravens, with that huge comeback win against the Colts. I think that momentum is going to sort of push them in the right direction. This is going to be the second East Coast trip already here for Los Angeles this season. Week one, they had to come face Washington. And, hey, they're back in the DMV, right? Facing another opponent here. So 1 o'clock game for the West Coast. I think that certainly gives the Chargers a bit of a little bit of a downgrade here for sure. But, yeah, I just like that. I think so teams coming off Monday night this season, I believe Colin Coward had the stat. They're 4-0 this season, so that's obviously good. But I think just Lamar is in a nice rhythm, right? So in the second half, pretty much of that game on Monday night, you know, a little bit of a short week. I know sometimes we say, hey, you know, this team doesn't have as much rest. I think this actually bodes well for the Ravens here where Lamar is able to get into a nice groove. So Chargers been a little less effective against the pass this season. So maybe Lamar and Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, the three of those guys should have a nice little day today. By the way, I don't know what is going on with the Ravens running back situation. Just each week is something new.
Dude, is it what is going on? Are they sabotaging these guys? Are they trying to get them hurt?
Well, so yeah, I mean, obviously the injuries are certainly a big thing, but I just you know the unsureness now with Tyson Williams, Latz Murray. You know, we don't know who else is going to get in there. I made the joke, well, Devonta Freeman as well. But I made the joke on Monday night during the game on Twitter. I just said, listen, let's just stop running the ball with the running backs, right? Like Lamar can do it himself. It's all good. You know, we saw what he can do with the whole half on Monday Night Football. So, go Ravens today.
So let's stick on this game here from a fantasy perspective, right? Now, I mentioned the Carolina defense. What about the Ravens defense? Now, you're a guy that really kind of plays on this stat too, with the West Coast team coming to the East Coast, especially playing in an early game. I mean, this is a differential. You think maybe some fog on the brain there for Herbert and the Chargers?
Could very well be, you know. And if we talk about the Ravens, at least they can sack the quarterback. They can get
they get after it.
It hasn't been the greatest start to the season for the Ravens. I think we can all agree. But again, you're right. You know, maybe a little fog on the brain there for Herbert and the boys. I wouldn't expect an absolutely monstrous day from the Ravens defense, but, you know, 2,300 there on DraftKings, if they can get you 7-8 points, something like that, that's a serviceable day.
Right on, brother. All right, man, let's hear the rest of the stuff that you got.
Well,
first off, you got any money on this ALCS? You got anything riding on that?
I got the first two games right. So
because I got I'm dead wrong, dude.
Yesterday was was pretty awesome. Coming off the golf course and seeing the Red Sox hit two grand slams in the first two innings, I was like, "This is nice, man." Oh, basically got my round paid for.
Right, yeah, there. I was gonna say, there you go, man. There's your day.
Oh man. So that was awesome. But I'm looking forward to the rest of that series for sure. I mean,
well, throw me a bone on that. Let me know what your cousin thinks.
I certainly will. All right. So for football today, I think another big game that we should all be looking at: Bengals Lions. A lot of people out there very, very high on the Lions money line today, and it's a number that we talk about a lot, where that 200 threshold, right? Whether you're the favorite at minus 200 or you're the underdog at plus 200, this is a number that's in that creepy territory right there for the Lions. So plus 160 is where you can get it mostly at. I've seen a couple 140s, 170s out there. But, yeah, a lot of people are liking the Lions' money line here. They've been competitive, especially when they're playing at home. And, you know, the Bengals last week with that absolutely – you know, heart-throttling game back and forth. Remember, I had the Bengals money line in that one, so that was just awful on so many.
And it's not like Goff's been playing bad. You know what I mean? He's not playing terrible. Like, he's playing manageable football. They've just had really bad luck.
I mean, if you look at Goff, you know, his numbers, he's right up there among the league leaders. They're letting him sling that thing in Detroit there. You got two nice running backs as well. So they are a competitive team, you know, whether they have a win or not. But, look, we've seen Jets all win on the money line. We've seen the Giants win on the money line this season. The Bengals at one point, you know, we all thought, all right, who's this team? But look at what they did. They had a huge upset win in Pittsburgh. So, basically what I'm saying is it's the Lions' time right now.
Right,
it's their time to get the W.
Well, what about the over-under here, man? What do you like? 46.5 that I'm seeing on ESPN right now. Well, you might be getting something different.
Yeah, so you know, if we're going to look into that game script right there, right, where Lions' money line is going to be a nice play here, then that means that the Bengals are probably going to struggle somewhat on offense. Samaje Perine hit the COVID list. Joe Mixon is the only, you know, running back threat there.
Available, right?
He should have a nice little day in DFS today just in terms of getting receptions, but he is dealing with an ankle injury, so – somebody on my in my fantasy league the other day, they dropped Perine, and I picked him up immediately because I'm a Joe Mixon owner. But you know, he should be back for the following game. Mixon does have these troubling ankle issues here, so it's gonna be something that he's gonna be playing with throughout the season. It's just a matter of, hey, how nice can they make him feel before the game to where he doesn't even know he has an ankle injury anymore? But that,
right, P. Ryan's coming back next week, like, and P. Ryan's healthy. He just he's on COVID protocol.
For sure, you know. So if this makes the Bengals a little one dimensional today, then you know I guess we'll just hybrid the talk here. But Bengals defense on DFS today is $2,100. I think that's a nice way to go. And again, it's a little bit of a shorter DFS slate than usual. The 1 o'clock window has 7 games, I believe, and the 4 o'clock window only has 3 games. So this is a nice way to kind of differentiate yourself from the pack. And if so many people are loving Lions money line, there's got to be some type of goodness there.
Yeah, $3,400 is still for me is a little bit pricey for the defense today, because I'm trying to get Kyler Murray in that Nuke Hopkins stack in my lineup today, man. I'm feeling an Arizona stack for some reason. Now I also got a Rams stack and a Carolina Stafford stack as well. But you might be talking me off the ledge with the pigeons here, because you're liking the Minnesota Viking defense. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, well, the Lions, mostly. The Lions.
Okay. All right. Lions, Tigers, and Bears, and Ravens, oh my. All right, yeah. So let's just rock down the slate then. We were talking about this Lions game, the Lions-Bengals game here. What about the Colts-Texans here, Walsh? I mean, right now it doesn't even look like it's going to be a game in terms of the line here. It looks like Indianapolis is favored by a touchdown and a half. What do you like here?
So Carson Wentz has been showing us a little something here the last couple weeks. Being now that I'm a Russell Wilson owner in one league, I needed to find another quarterback, so Carson Wentz was it.
Are you okay? Are you all right?
Well, what else do you want me to do?
No, I'm with you, man.
Am I okay? Options are limited, man. Come on. So, yeah, now, but, you know, last two games, Wentz has looked really good here, especially against the Ravens last week on Monday Night Football. Definitely showed that he can move the pocket and do some creative things here for the Colts offense. So that coupled together, where you got, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines there, you know, both two available options to check down out of the backfield. Those guys are getting plenty of touches as well. It just kind of eliminates a lot of the mistakes that Wentz may or may not make at some point. So, again, it's all about keeping him upright too. We know he's got plenty of injury history. But this should be a nice and easy day here against the Texans.
Yeah, I'm feeling a big day from Jonathan Taylor in terms of DFS. So I think I got 88 ownership, or almost 90% ownership on Jonathan Taylor. I know I got him in a lot of lineups here.
So the Colts absolutely blew that game last week, right? Like, they should, you know, they should have won that game numerous times. I feel like this is a... It's it's a divisional opponent. Most of the time you think, oh, you know, they might, you know, be heartbroken or looking ahead. No, I think the Colts are a well-run football team. They had a couple, you know, they've had a really tough schedule early on here. So they know that they need this win in order to keep some semblance of a season. So I think that they absolutely get out there and take care of business today.
Right on, man. Let's continue down the slate. Rams, and they might be Giants from New York. What do you like here? Nothing from the Giants, right?
Yeah, this line is weird, right? So the line at one point in the beginning of the week was all the way up to 10.5 in favor of the Rams. Now we're seeing it Rams -7.5 at pretty much every book here in Jersey. So, yeah, I'm wondering what the heck is going on there myself. However, I do like some goodness from the Rams. Like, there's a huge mismatch between the Rams receivers and the Giants, you know, pass defense. Right. This could be an absolutely huge day for Stafford here today. You got multiple pieces on the DFS front. This could be a sneaky week for Cooper Kupp, right? If the Giants are going to continue to be bad over the middle, then, you know, Kupp's going to be obviously big. Yeah. Tyler Higbee is there as well. So a lot of different options there. Now, the one thing we always got to remember, the wind at MetLife Stadium, I think it's only somewhere around 10, 12 miles an hour today, so it shouldn't play a huge factor. That would be the only thing. But I wonder, you know, the the total seems like it could be an interesting spot here for some points. But again, I do think that that's going to be mostly via, you know, Stafford and Kupp and Higby in this one. Maybe the Giants get a little garbage time offense going. Who knows? But the over was looking pretty appealing here.
Well, I mean, as a Giants fan, I can't, you know, this is why I play fantasy football. I mean, this just, it's going to be bad in terms of fandom watching the home team play here. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Rams. I'm, you know, the over-under here on this that I'm seeing is 49. I think it's all going to be coming from the Rams anyways. All right, let's just continue down this noon slate here. Now, I'm seeing a lot of questions coming in. Hey, should we take a chance? Am I completely losing my mind here? Should I take a flyer on Washington football team defense?
Well, I'm glad I kind of wanted to parlay this one with a betting and a DFS talk because I got tons of exposure here in DFS today.
Let's chop it up, brother. We got time.
Yeah, absolutely. So both running backs, well, running backs on both teams are appealing to me in this one. The running back for Kansas City, his name's escaping me. Darrell Williams. I knew Damian was the guy from Chicago, threw me off a bit, but I like him today. This is going to be more of like a pass funnel type of day for Kansas City, right? Like Washington's pass defense has been atrocious. Kansas City, they're probably not going to try to run the ball a ton today, right? And, you know, the two guys in the backfield, Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon, that would just lead you to believe that Williams will be out there for plenty more snaps today. He's a guy that's already played with Kansas City. He's more comfortable within that system. So I love him today on DraftKings at 4,900. I think he's going to get his fair share of targets, especially if Mahomes is throwing 50-plus times today. You know, he'll certainly get his, maybe even get a goal line carry at some point. So I'm definitely a big favor of him today.
I like Hardman, and, too, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be a weird day. I know Tyreek Hill is playing today, correct?
Yeah, he's rolling, baby. Injuries. He's rolling.
Yeah, so we got to see, you know, if he's really just going to be a decoy. Is he really good to go in this
one? He's listed as questionable, but he's rolling, man.
Okay. You know, fool me once. Okay, fool me twice.
Well, yeah, you know, we're just going to blame Adam Schefter because he's the one reporting it.
All right. That's so,
Schefty, we're coming after you, buddy.
That's right. But, yeah, I feel more comfortable going with Kelce and Williams today out of the Kansas City workload. But, I mean, I understand, you know, Schefty's got a job to do. It's just I know Hill was a little banged up. He didn't practice a couple times this week, so you know, we'll see how that goes. And then on the Washington side, I do like McKissick out of the backfield, 4,800 on DraftKings. We've seen him sort of, you know, have one big game, take a game off. Have one big game, right, take a game off. But the game script really lends itself to optimism for him today. If Kansas City is going to be throwing the ball all over the yard, that means Washington's going to be doing the same. They're going to be forced to. And I like Tyler Heinicke today, too, on DFS. I think he's a nice quarterback option, just below 6,000, if I'm not mistaken. But you got a lot of good pass catchers there from Washington, too, where, you know, Terry McLaurin, a little bit of a decreased price there at 7,000. Ricky Seals-Jones is a nice option there at tight end at min price. So there's some pretty good options there for Washington.
Meanwhile, Gibson's going up. Antonio Gibson's going up, so I don't know. Like you mentioned McKissick. I think you're going to see a set where you see, you know, 22 personnel, or not 22 personnel, but at least maybe 21 personnel where you get two running backs on the field at a time. You definitely want to have, or the Washington football team feels like they definitely want to have Gibson and McKissick playing, you know, a good amount of snaps as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I the way I was just looking at it, like, I'm sure second half is going to be McKissick time. That's, you know, it's like right, we're going to have to wait that long
to get it in. Yeah.
Yeah. But sorry, you know, as long as you
get
it in.
Well, I mean, that's
in,
just what you're seeing. Well, in terms of game script, what you're talking about, you're seeing the Heinicke checkdowns, right? You're talking about McKissick trying to catch up, or you're talking about Washington football team trying to stay in the wraps here with the Chiefs, trying to keep up with points. And what are you going to do? They're probably going to be playing underneath defense, and that's going to bode well for McKissick.
Yeah, McKissick, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he has two touchdowns this season, and I think both of them came in like the very like final possession of each game. The one against the Giants and then the one against the Falcons a couple weeks ago. So now we're really going to be waiting to the very end.
All right, brother. Now let's talk. All right, so is that all you got for the Chiefs Washington football team game?
Yeah, I think you could also feel comfortable taking the over. I think both teams are going to be throwing the football plenty in this one.
Yeah, the over's under what? I'm looking at 54. What are you looking at?
Yeah, 54 as well.
All right, yeah, I'll be jumping in on that as well. All right, Walsh, let's move right on. Let's go down to Carolina. Vikings going down to Carolina. What do you like here?
Yeah, we talked about this one earlier. This is the first one, but I do like the Vikings in this one. It's kind of the line movement that happened earlier in the week. But, Panthers started as a huge favorite, and Vikings now about a 2.5-point favorite in most books.
All right, brother, we got the two-minute warning going on here. Chargers-Rams, two-minute drill.
So last game, let's talk about the 4 o'clock window. We really haven't talked about them.
Go ahead.
Arizona's going to be without a ton of people today. Their head coach, their offensive coordinator, their quarterback's coach. That's going to be awkward for Kyler Murray and the boys. So I'm looking to go with the Browns in this one. Whether you take the points or straight up.
Walsh, I want you to breathe a little bit here because now do you hear that music? Now visualize, baby. You're at the 10-yard line. In your territory, you got 90 yards to drive. Let's talk about your drive consists of your bets here. Let's talk about
break it down. For sure. So certainly going with the Browns over the Cardinals today. Also talking about another team in chaos where the Raiders, they in a span of 7 days last week, they lost two football games and a head coach. So that's going to be tough going into Denver this week. Really looking forward to a Broncos smashing on that one. And then another big one today, Dallas at New England. I know a lot of people really liking the Patriots in this one. This is sort of just an awkward line where, we're really what to think of. Yeah, about it here, but Jacoby Myers, probably my favorite angle from this game, 5,500 there on DraftKings today.
I mean, you got to think that Dallas covers easily, though, right? I mean, I know you're going up to Foxborough, but still, I mean, the Patriots are winless at home.
I've got a parlay today with Patriots money line.
Look at you.
I'm also gonna have one Patriots plus 4, I'll say. I'll try to see if I can get any lower or any higher, but I'm rolling with the Pats today.
All right, brother. Well, it looks like your Bucks already took care of business on Thursday night. Let's talk about this Sunday night matchup real quick before we go to break. Seahawks at Steelers.
Yeah, it's an awkward line, right? I would not be surprised if the Steelers win this game by 3.
Geno Smith, baby.
I know. He looked very good. It's amazing what happens when you get a chance to sit back and sort of learn and just see how things are done in a professional way and not as a member of the Jets, but he's been doing a great job there in Seattle. He had a really nice come in substitution there in the Thursday night game, so I think this game could be a little closer, but at the end of could be a little closer than we anticipate, but I think at the end of the day the Steelers probably pull away at the end.
All right, you like points. How about Monday Night Football, baby? 53.5, that's what I'm looking at, the over-under with this Bills-Titans game. Break it down.
Yeah, I think, a lot of people are going to be jumping on the Bills after the huge Sunday night win in Kansas City, but Tennessee, a team that I usually don't like betting at home, if this gets up to +7, I don't see how you can't take it, where you get Derrick Henry having a big night, against Buffalo. Just kind of running the clock and keeping that game closer than most would anticipate. So, it depends if that gets up to a key number. If not, I can just sit back and watch this game, considering I have an abundance of fantasy talent on both sides. So, I'm going to wait and see what happens with that line, see if it gets up to 7.
He is Al Walsh. He does some writing for Awesomeo.com, Odds USA. He's also, hosting, spitting his lyrics and spitting his knowledge there on Taking Sides as well. Man, you can find him on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Best in the business, obligatory go-to, and he gets you every type of weird Chinese food in New York City. It's Bayon's own. It's Al Walsh, man. Hey, brother, nothing but the best, man. Enjoy your day, bro.
You got it. You too.
Later, man. There he goes, dude. I'm telling you, he will take you for a ride, man.
We'll take you for another ride when we come back. We're answering your fantasy football questions on the Wagner Wire. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com. All right, that's going to do it for hour number two. Thank you guys so much for sticking around. Hey, don't go nowhere. We got the signature segment of the Wagner Wire on the other side. It is Who Do You Love? But you guys know the drill, man. You know, that last hour is always power hour. Make sure you bring it strong. We bring it long. You bring it strong. Oh, on a Sunday, Wagner. It's the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. I'm staring at a picture of David Robinson right now in sunny skies. That's right. Don't go nowhere. Waiting for your